Today is the 19th day of November. And that was my hat hitting the microphone. Sorry about that. It's good to be here with you today. Grateful deeply for another day. I'm grateful for another day. To get it right, right? Another day to keep trying. Another day to keep moving forward. And so let us take another step on the grand adventure right now through the book of Ezekiel. Today, chapter 39, verse 1 through 40, verse 27. Son of man, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Gog, ruler of the nations of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around and drive you toward the mountains of Israel, bringing you from the distant north. I will knock the bow from your left hand and the arrows from your right hand, and I will leave you helpless. You and your army and your allies will all die on the mountains. I will feed you to the vultures and wild animals. You will fall in the open fields, for I have spoken, says the sovereign Lord. And I will rain down fire on Magog and on all your allies who live safely on the coasts. Then they will know that I am the Lord. In this way, I will make known my holy name among my people of Israel. I will not let anyone bring shame on it. And the nations too will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. That day of judgment will come, says the sovereign Lord. Everything will happen just as I have declared it. And the people in the towns of Israel will go out and pick up your small and large shields, bows and arrows, javelins and spears, and they will use them for fuel. There will be enough to last them 7 years. They won't need to cut wood from the fields or forests, for these weapons will give them all the fuel they need. They will plunder those who planned to plunder them, and they will rob those who planned to rob them, says the sovereign Lord. And I will make a vast graveyard for Gog and his hordes in the Valley of the Travelers, east of the Dead Sea. It will block the way of those who travel there, and they will change the name of the place to the Valley of Gog's Hordes. It will take 7 months for the people of Israel to bury the bodies and cleanse the land. Everyone in Israel will help, for it will be a glorious victory for Israel when I demonstrate my glory on that day, says the sovereign Lord. After 7 months, teams of men will be appointed to search the land for skeletons to bury, so the land will be made clean again. Whenever bones are found, a marker will be set up so the burial crews will take them to be buried in the Valley of Gog's Hordes. There will be a town there named Hamona, which means hoard, and so the land will finally be cleansed. And now, son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Call all the birds and wild animals. Say to them, gather together for my great sacrificial feast. Come from far and near to the mountains of Israel, and there eat flesh and drink blood. Eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of princes, as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all fattened animals from Bashan. Gorge yourselves with flesh until you are glutted. Drink blood until you are drunk. This is the sacrificial feast I have prepared for you. Feast at my banquet table. Feast on horses and charioteers, on mighty men and all kinds of valiant warriors, says the sovereign Lord. In this way, I will demonstrate my glory to the nations. Everyone will see the punishment I have inflicted on them, and the power of my fist when I strike. And from that time on, the people of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God, The nations will then know why Israel was sent away to exile. It was punishment for sin, for they were unfaithful to their God. Therefore I turned away from them and let their enemies destroy them. I turned my face away and punished them because of their defilement and their sins. So now this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will end the captivity of my people. I will have mercy on all Israel, for I jealously guard my holy reputation. They will accept responsibility for their past shame and unfaithfulness after they come home to live in peace in their own land, with no one to bother them. When I bring them home from the lands of their enemies, I will display my holiness among them for all the nations to see. Then my people will know that I am the Lord their God, because I sent them away to exile and brought them home again. I will leave none of my people behind, and I will never again turn my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit upon the people of Israel. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. On April 28th, during the 25th year of our captivity, 14 years after the fall of Jerusalem, the Lord took hold of me. In a vision from God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain. From there, I could see toward the south what appeared to be a city. As he brought me nearer, I saw a man whose face shone like bronze, standing beside a gateway entrance. He was holding in his hand a linen measuring cord and a measuring rod. He said to me, "Son of man, watch and listen. Pay close attention to everything I show you. You have been brought here so I can show you many things. Then you will return to the people of Israel and tell them everything you have seen." I could see a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The man took a measuring rod that was 10.5 feet long and measured the wall, and the wall was 10.5 feet thick and 10.5 feet high. Then he went over to the eastern gateway. He climbed the steps and measured the threshold of the gateway. It was 10.5 feet front to back. There were guard alcoves on each side built into the gateway passage. Each of these alcoves was 10.5 feet square, with a distance between them of 8.75 feet along the passage wall. The gateway's inner threshold, which led to the entry room at the inner end of the gateway passage, was 10.5 feet front to back. He also measured the entry room of the gateway. It was 14 feet across, with supporting columns 3.5 feet thick. This entry room was at the inner end of the gateway structure, facing toward the temple. There were 3 guard alcoves on each side of the gateway passage. Each had the same measurements, and the dividing walls separating them were also identical. The man measured the gateway entrance, which was 17.5 feet wide at the opening and 22.75 feet wide in the gateway passage. In front of each of the guard alcoves was a 21-inch curb. The alcoves themselves were 10.5 feet on each side. Then he measured the entire width of the gateway, measuring the distance between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. This distance was 43.75 feet. He measured the dividing walls all along the inside of the gateway up to the entry room of the gateway. This distance was 105 feet. The full length of the gateway passage was 87.5 feet from one end to the other. There were recessed windows that narrowed inward through the walls of the guard alcoves and their dividing walls. There were also windows in the entry room. The surfaces of the dividing walls were decorated with carved palm trees. Then the man brought me through the gateway into the outer courtyard of the temple. A stone pavement ran along the walls of the courtyard, and 30 rooms were built against the walls, opening onto the pavement. This pavement flanked the gates and extended out from the walls into the courtyard, the same distance as the gateway entrance. This was the lower pavement. Then the man measured across the temple's outer courtyard between the outer and inner gateways. The distance was 175 feet. The man measured the gateway on the north just like the one on the east. Here, too, there were three guard alcoves on each side, with dividing walls and an entry room. All the measurements matched those of the east gateway. The gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43 and 3/4 feet wide, between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. The windows, the entry room, and the palm tree decorations were identical to those in the east gateway. There were 7 steps leading up to the gateway entrance, and the entry room was at the inner end of the gateway passage. Here on the north side, just as on the east, there was another gateway leading to the temple's inner courtyard, directly opposite this outer gateway. The distance between the two gateways was 175 feet. Then the man took me around to the south gateway and measured its various parts, and they were exactly the same as in the others. It had windows along the walls, as the others did, and there was an entry room where the gateway passage opened into the outer courtyard. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43 3/4 feet wide between the back walls of the facing guard alcoves. This gateway also had a stairway of 7 steps leading up to it and an entry room at the inner end and palm tree decorations along the dividing walls. And here again, directly opposite the outer gateway, was another gateway that led into the inner courtyard. The distance between the two gateways was 175 feet. James 2:18-3:18. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Psalm 118, 1 through 18. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them with all the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them with all the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire. But I destroyed them with all the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but He did not let me die. Proverbs 28:2. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. So we've kind of moved through the center of James. It's not like a super long letter. And so the implications of what James is saying become more and more clear. It's so direct. I love it, but it also kicks my butt, you know, like supposed to. So James has this central kind of underlying argument that faith is absolutely where the story with God begins and ends. But faith isn't fully activated and actually faith without it changing the actions of our lives, because that is faith that is not alive. Faith isn't something that we have in a closet. It's like our special faith closet, and we go get it when we need it. It's not segmented into some kind of compartment in our lives that doesn't touch any other part of our lives, so that we can live completely faithless, except for when we are in our faith mode. Faith should touch and inform every compartment, everything about our lives. It should influence everything. Everything we think, everything we speak, everything we choose, everything that we do in profound ways that affect how we navigate life in this world. Otherwise, it's not faith that's alive. And so James is like driving that home. And I quote him, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works." So like that's a crystal. Like James is crystal clear. He's very direct in his speech. This is not some kind of issue that he wants to be misunderstood or nuanced or misrepresented. If we have faith, but it is not affecting our behavior and transforming how we live, then James is saying the faith is dead. And for James, one of the ways we put our faith into action is how we put our tongue into action. He said that like our tongue is kind of like a bit in a horse's mouth, or it's kind of like the rudder of a ship. Small, it's a small thing in our body, but it steers the trajectory of our whole life. And my gosh, is that not fact? Right? Like, is that not fact? James is bold enough to say that, and wow, this is fact too, we can burn our whole lives down around us with our tongues. By what we say and who we say it to, we can burn our whole life down. So it's probably not a secret that words are powerful. We just may not pay a lot of attention to the fact that we are creating reality with our words and the things that we say and stories that we tell. So harnessing that creative power and using it for good, that's kind of challenging. But James' point wasn't only that there's like huge power in what we say. He's also telling us there's duality in our mouths. And for all the mighty power that is can be used for good with our words, mighty evil can also be spun up. James says sometimes the tongue praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so there's blessing and cursing coming pouring out of the same mouth. Friends, is that not a fact? But then James says, surely this is not right. Can we just take that on board? I just need to take that on board. Surely that is not right. So since we have the power to bless and to curse from the same mouth, maybe the first step that puts our faith into action is to harness and control the thing that aims our lives in the way that it's going. The rudder of our lives, our tongue. I believe every single one of us can attest to what happens when we lose control and say things that we shouldn't. Or when we put ourselves in a position and we are saying things that we should not be saying to somebody. We can be an angel of mercy. We can be a seductor or seductress. We can be a stone cold killer with our tongues all on the same day. James says, surely that is not right. But if we can control our tongues, then the rest of us will follow our body and our soul. And that sets us on a path where our faith is put into action in everything that we do. And so, Father, it's impossible to ignore in the scriptures that our mouths and what we do with them is a recurring theme. And there is profound power to create reality out of our mouths. You created everything by speaking it. We create much by speaking it. And we can bring such evil into this world. Or we can bring such goodness and mercy and the kingdom. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Help us to do the latter, but it is for us to control what is steering our lives. We can ask you to help us be angels of mercy, but we have got to bridle our tongue. And that requires vigilance and awareness that we are paying attention, that we take the beat before we say the thing, that we walk away and pull ourselves out of saying things that we should not. So we ask Holy Spirit to give us strength and awareness in the name of Jesus. Amen. So welcome back, Nat, to a Whatever This Is with Brian and
Jill.
But it is Brian and
Jill.
We're here together with you right now.
I'm so confused. I don't even know what that means.
Well,
this is Whatever This Is.
No, this is just an announcement that we're doing and not a big long discussion of.
Still Whatever This Is, because we're here doing whatever we're here to do.
So are you saying whenever we're together, it's a Whatever This Is?
It should be.
So maybe we should live our lives like that. Maybe we do. whatever this is.
Welcome to the wife and the husband's podcast.
So glad to be here with the wife today.
Oh my gosh. Gird your loins.
Okay.
Hi everyone.
Hi everybody. Sorry for all of this. We just want to announce something or invite something. This is kind of a call out for call-ins. And this, I mean, there is a daily audio Bible tradition that goes way back, that we have an annual Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who have been here, like even as far as last Christmas, know that. But this has been going on for most of the whole daily audio Bible. And so, you know, those are beautiful. They're hours long, but they're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Like one of the most beautiful things we do is to share holiday greetings with each other. But you have had a tradition at
Chronological.
And why don't you explain that tradition?
Well, you know, you get people that call in and they send their gratitude to a lot of times to you. And it's like, you know, thank you so much, Brian. You've changed my life. And those things are so sweet and honoring because you said yes. But the truth is, it's the Bible that's transforming our lives, whether we realize it or not. And we're indebted. We have a great amount of gratitude for the person that said yes and facilitated this space that we come and we get changed. I have those people along the way in my life.
You absolutely have those people. I hear those people say the same things to you. Yes.
And we get to hear as a community how we can pray for each other and rejoice for one another through the calls, which are so beautiful. But I just wanted a very concentrated place that we can hear the stories of how the Bible has transformed people's lives. Mm-hmm. Because for me, that is conducive to this holiday season of Thanksgiving that is upon us. Mm-hmm. I know that's an American-ish. I think Canada might celebrate as well.
A different day, but yeah.
I researched it once.
Words of gratitude are probably in all different cultures.
And it's great that we put a day aside, but what if it's like a posture of our heart? Mm-hmm. That I know you talk about that a lot. Like, I'm going to focus on giving thanks and just making it a part of your day. It changes your brain. Mm-hmm. It changes the neural pathways in your brain when you intentionally think about the things that you're grateful for, the people that you're grateful for that have, you know, shown light in your life, maybe when everything else was bleak and dark. And what a great way to be able to hear our stories with each other of how the Bible transformed our lives. Sometimes, we call this a safe space. Mm-hmm. And you and I have witnessed that it is a safe place. Mm-hmm. People will call in and confess things.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's rare, like, it's not met with shame or judgment or like, you idiot. You know, I think it's how it should be.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just to hear those stories, it gives us the courage to really go inward in our own story.
Yeah.
And go, okay, maybe I could share some of the things that I have came out of, where God has brought me out of. That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
When you've been in a church setting your whole life.
Where there's not a lot of grace. There's a lot of judgment practiced,
So, you know, we have all walks of life here. And, man, the ones that get me are the people straight out of prison. Mm. I just love to hear people's stories.
Yeah. And so you've had this tradition.
Yeah.
Chronological to do this around the American Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't want to step on your toes with Christmas. And
yeah. So this year, we're kind of combining our efforts.
Yeah.
And who knows, making new traditions. But this is our 20th year at this. And I counted it up, you know, like 7,300 plus days to do this in a row. And
7,368.85. Who's counting?
I think when we're done, it'll be 7,305.
Oh, okay.
But who's counting? I guess we counted day by day, step by step. But we thought, let's do what you're talking about in a very specific context, and let's do it across both chronological and daily audio Bible. Let's do this together as a larger community. And that basically is, you know, what is your campfire story? You know, we're 20 years into this, and so there are those of you who are listening for, like, this is your first week.
Yeah.
And then there are those of you who are listening that have been here for 5 years or 10 years. And then there are those of you who have been here like the whole time.
The whole time.
And you were here on day one. And so what has the story been for you as you've navigated and traveled the journey here around the campfire as a community? What has the Bible meant in your life? The way that it's done here in the community. What has the Daily Audio Bible represented in your life? What's the story that we've all walked through together with you as a community?
You know, right, because there are some aspects of the Bible being so transformative. Specifically, there are probably stories of where the community has been transformative in people's stories. So it's... We want to hear that this is your space to do that.
Yeah. And man, what a commemorative. I can't wait to listen. I just am already choked up to think about it. I was thinking about it earlier, like, wow, what this will be to sit and listen for a couple of hours.
We're going to have to go on a long drive.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the call out for call-ins. What is your campfire story? And we're going to stitch these all together and do kind of like we do at the Christmas party. We're still going to have the Christmas party.
Yeah. This
right
is not
now,
replacing.
At this point in, you know, Thanksgiving, time of gratitude, just as a commemorative of 20 years at this.
Yeah.
Just call in and say who you are and where you're from and how long you've been around and what's your campfire story.
Now, this is a big, there's a big boundary here that we have to put in place because there's a lot of people. You have to keep the call to 2 minutes.
Yeah, one
you one can't call per like, person. Like, if you can't get it in 2 minutes, you can't call back five times. It's not going to cut it.
It won't get in at all. Like, it's, yeah, because of how much participation, it's like, do this in 2 minutes.
And so maybe a good rule of thumb is like, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 2 minutes and practice it. Like, we have to practice things all the time. It's like, oh, that didn't cut it. Let's take it again. So practice it.
Yep. So that's,
write it out.
That's one of the things to point out. The other thing to point out is we're going to be using the prayer and encouragement lines. So whether that's the hotline button in the app or whether you call in, don't combine like a prayer request or an encouragement along with your campfire story. Make those separate things. Otherwise, we just really do not have the capacity to kind of edit and knit together. So keep things separate if you're calling in a prayer request or encouragement. But we invite you at this point for like the next week. We're opening it up for you to call in your stories. And we're looking forward very, very much to hearing your stories as we continue to kind of sit here in awe and think 20 years every day. So
you can go ahead and use the same means of hotline number for whichever channel or avenue that you're used to calling. So if you're Daily Audio Bible, you can call
877-942-4253. And if you're calling chronological,
800-583-2164. And we're just going to combine them.
Or you can use the hotline in the app. And actually, wherever, mm-hmm. you can send them to chronological, yep. or Daily Audio Bible. They'll get to where they're going.
And the same beautiful message will be on both podcasts. So yes. you're not going to miss one and have to go listen. Of course,
you
if
don't
you
have
want
to call
to,
the same call in to both of them.
Right.
It's all going to be a combined right. large community effort.
You can listen both channels if you would like to, but they're going to play.
But don't call into both channels.
Don't, please don't call into both channels. Just one spot and it'll get there.
Yep. So that's the call out for call-ins.
I like that.
What is your campfire story? And I guess that's the announcement.
Yeah.
So let's get out of here. We've been spending a lot of time with you guys, and we've enjoyed it all, but today we want to be a little more brief.
Yeah.
And give you space and time to call in. Don't be a straggler.
Yeah, don't.
Because when we kind of have to cut it off, we have to cut it off. And so call in today. And that's it for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you.
We'll be waiting for you here
tomorrow.
Hey, Dabbers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia. And I just wanted to pray and give encouragement to the mother. Her daughter has fallen away from the Lord. Jesus does some of his best work when we are totally broken. I was an alcoholic. I was living a very promiscuous lifestyle, and I was just not a good person. And 17 years ago, Christ chased me, put his loving arms around me, and it was when I was at my rock bottom and totally broken that he was able to form me into the person I am today. I look back on that lifestyle and I think to myself, that was a totally different person. He made me new. I can't even fathom going back and doing the things that I was doing during that time. My dad was a minister, and people were shocked whenever they found out that I was dealing with alcohol and addicted to alcohol. They were totally shocked. And it's just amazing what Jesus can do in our lives. So don't give up hope. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift this dear woman and her daughter up in prayer, dear God, that you would give the mother the strength and the courage that she needs in this battle, and that you would bring the right people into her daughter's life to be a witness to her. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, family. This is Mike from Mexico, Missouri. I'm just calling for prayers. I got sort of paperwork by my wife. Her divorce, and just praying that God's will be done in this. I know he hates divorce, but there's other issues going on, and so pray for Mike and Lindsay. I'd appreciate that so much. Love you guys all. Be well, and remember, make it a great day. Thank you, family.
Hi, Rebecca from Michigan. This is Colleen from Oklahoma. I heard your message. On your birthday, happy belated birthday. I want you to know that whenever I hear your voice, I recognize it right away. And I smile and do a little wave to you because I'm so happy to hear from you. I know that sounds silly, but I thought maybe you'd enjoy it anyway. Thank you for sharing with us about the Psalms mentioning restore. I'd never put together Psalm 23, and I believe it's 51, that they both mention being restored. That was a great call. Thank you for that. Have a great day.
Good morning, family. This is Tony from Lakewood. calling for your help again. You guys helped me previously a few times when I called in for my son. Thank you very much for that. He is doing much better. But now, my godson's mother, she has cancer. I'm asking for prayer for her, for full healing, and to lift her spirits up. She's starting to get a little discouraged now. She is making some positive progress and a little backslide now. Her name is Lily, and she lives here in California. If you can, family, I appreciate prayers for her. She's a very kind, loving mother. Her and her husband are amazing together, and they both taken in her parents. The relationship is beautiful, and their son is still young, still needs his mother. I think we always need our parents, no matter what. But if you could pray for her and ask God to cover her, keep her thoughts on him, and give her full healing. Ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you, family.